Good evening. We have just a few less than we did this morning. This evening, I want to talk for a few moments about the subject of compromise. Our brother read for us a brief episode of a very dramatic scene in Egypt and a clash of wills between, on the surface, Moses and Pharaoh. Actually, the clash is between Pharaoh and God. And we can lose sight of, we can focus on the plagues, and that's what captures our attention. And sometimes we lose sight of the methods that Pharaoh tried to use to appease Moses or God. You know, back in Exodus chapter 7, about verse 16, God instructed Moses and Aaron to go before Pharaoh with the message, "Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness." Pharaoh didn't want to do that. He didn't want to let them go. Egypt's economic strength derived largely upon the use of slaves. And so for Egypt to let these slaves go, there went the largest part of their workforce. So naturally, they are going to hold on to their slaves with all their might. And on the surface, it may seem like Pharaoh's compromises are mostly innocent. But that's what is so tricky about compromise. It seems innocent enough, but at what cost? What would the compromises Pharaoh suggested, what would that cost Egypt? Or what would it cost Israel? And what would it cost Pharaoh? You see, compromise, in a certain context, is one of Satan's greatest tools. You know and I know there are some compromises that are necessary. Marriage. There needs to be compromise. But there's nothing nefarious about compromise in marriage. A husband and wife might, she might want one kind of house and he might want another kind of house. So there might have to be a compromise. But there are some things that we just simply cannot compromise. God's truth is something that cannot be compromised. We can't make any deals with God regarding his doctrine. He commanded baptism for salvation. Well, let's compromise, God. We'll sprinkle instead. We know where that leads. But compromise is one of the tools that Satan uses to recapture the Christian and to keep non-Christians right where they are. So I want to examine Pharaoh's four attempts at compromise this evening, and two of them were in the text. There are two of them that I'm going to look at are in the text that our brother read for us. And the first one is in verse 25. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go sacrifice to your God in the land." So this was after the plague of flies. And Pharaoh, you know, he has to be, he's trying to be somewhat diplomatic here. He doesn't want to upset his workforce to where they revolt, because by this time it's possible that there were more Israelites in the area than there were Egyptians. So he doesn't want to upset them. But at the same time, he doesn't want to let them get out of his reach so that they just keep going, and then Pharaoh loses his workforce. And then you know what that means. The Egyptians are going to have to do their own work. And they couldn't let that happen. So Pharaoh compromises on a couple of fronts. Number one, he's thinking, okay, I don't care if they sacrifice. What's one more god? In Pharaoh's mind, they had gods for this and that and the other thing. So Pharaoh's like, okay, what's one more god? So we'll let them worship their god, but we'll keep them close so that we can keep our eyes on them, so that they don't get too far, so that they don't get this wind of independence and decide that they want to totally flee the land. So that's what Pharaoh has in mind. In today's society, we see attempts at compromise on a similar front. Many people in society today know that worship and doing good are important, even if they're not particularly religious. There are some folks out there who maybe don't go to church, but to them, you and I are good people. I've heard non-religious people, not anti-religious, but non-religious people say good things about folks that go to church, Christians. So a lot of folks recognize that, you know, worship and going to church and doing good things is a commendable thing. It's trait, it's important. But at the same time, they'll say, but it doesn't matter where they do them. Meaning, okay, so some of them go to the Church of Christ. Some of them go to a denomination. Some of them go to that denomination. And they make no distinction. And so they're saying, well, worship is a good thing, and it's right that people do it, but, you know, one church is as good as another. And when a person says that, we have to find out and we have to ascertain what sense, in what sense are they using the word church? If they're saying, well, the Church of Christ in Cambridge is as good as the Church of Christ in Moundsville, I'd say that's probably right. If they mean, well, you know, the denominational church in Cambridge is as good as that denominational church in Moundsville, again, they're probably right. Only I don't know that I would use the word good for discussing a denomination, because a denomination is less than what God has planned. And so if you know, one denomination is no better than the other, right? Okay, I'll buy that. They think it doesn't matter that, you know, as long as you're doing something religious, as long as you're going somewhere that we can call church, and then the specific one doesn't matter. So in verses 26 and 27, Moses responds. Moses said, it's not right to do so, not here. We want to go into the wilderness. God has told them to go into the wilderness. He says, if we do our worship here, it's going to seem as an abomination to the Egyptians. Cattle were sacred in Egypt. Okay? Sacrificing cattle in this fashion that the Israelites were doing would be as insulting to an Egyptian as sacrificing a pig in a Muslim mosque. Christians are often required to sacrifice what the world worships. The Israelites were going to sacrifice cattle. That's what the Egyptians worshiped. Sometimes you and I have to sacrifice, give up the things that the world worships in order to be pleasing to God. And where does make a difference? The church is Christ's blood-bought institution. And so the challenge for us is very similar to the challenge that Moses was issuing to the Israelites. He wanted the Israelites to be able to go out of Egypt. You and I are challenged to come out of the world, not do the things that the world does. Look at 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says Jehovah. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And this is after Paul's discussion about, you know, what agreement or what concord does Christ have with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So then he calls us to come out of the world, just like Israel was called to come out of Egypt, to get away from sin of Egypt. You know, Satan or Pharaoh here is a type of Satan, and that he is the one that is putting a wrench into things that the children of God are being commanded to do. The second compromise is down in verse 28, and it's very closely related to the first one. He says, I will let you go, Pharaoh says, that you may sacrifice to Jehovah your God in the wilderness. So first it was no, you have to do it in the land. Then he says, okay, we'll compromise. I'll let you go into the wilderness, just don't go very far. Stay where I can keep an eye on you and where you still have your ties here. We get people trying to get us to compromise in a similar fashion today. Don't get too involved in religion. We had 80 this morning. Evidently, there's some folks buying into this. Don't get too involved. In fact, we have folks who are trying to encourage us to be like those lukewarm Laodiceans. Don't be on fire for the Lord. Don't become a religious fanatic. Just throw God a bone once in a while and he'll be satisfied. Just don't take your religion too seriously. Be like Peter when Jesus was arrested. Follow the Lord, but follow him from afar. That's F-A-R. That's not hillbilly for... Sorry about that. That was my daughter, and she evidently called twice in 15 minutes because my phone is on silent, but if somebody calls twice in 15 minutes, it breaks through. So, where were I? She's 25 and still doing this stuff to me. Yeah. He's saying, don't be too serious about your religion. But we have to go all the way from Satan. Too many Christians today are trying to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They want the blessings of Christ, but they don't want to give up the pleasures of the world. And that's a constant strain, and it just will not work. We want to be popular with our friends and our family, our co-workers. So we want to say things and do things that are funny and amusing, maybe a little bit off color. But I'm not going to get too dirty, because I don't want to blow things with God. That's an attitude of compromise and a recipe for disaster. I'm not going to get drunk, but I'll just drink a couple beers. Compromise. I'm going to tell a few little fibs so I can get a raise. I'm going to cheat a little bit on my taxes so I can get a little more money. But I'll put a little more money in the church collection. See? And it just leads to problems. But we have to go all the way out from Pharaoh. And we have to go all the way to Christ. We have to go all the way in doctrine, and all the way in Christian living, and all the way in our opposition to sin. We cannot accept some sins and detest others. That's duplicity. James called it a double-minded man, and said he was unstable in his ways when we start behaving that way. Moses would have to leave Egypt all the way, no compromise. Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom." Luke 9:62. Okay, turn with me to Exodus chapter 10, verse 7 beginning. This is after the plague of hail. Pharaoh's servant said to him, "How long shall this man, Moses, be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve Jehovah their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed?" So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. And he said to them, "Go serve Jehovah your God. Who are the ones that are going?" And Moses said, "We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to Jehovah." Then he said to them, "Jehovah had better be with you when I let you go and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you." "Not so," he said. "Go now, you who are men, and serve Jehovah, for that is what you desired." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So the compromise after the hail by Pharaoh is, okay, only the men can go. Remember, he said, "The Lord better be with you if the little ones go." In other words, that's not going to happen. But you who are men could go, the adults. So Pharaoh's shrewd plea was likely this. He says, "If you leave your little ones behind, you won't go very far. And you'll be back soon. And even if you don't come back, you're not going to last long. And your movement will die. And then they will have this whole crop of new slaves growing up in Egypt." Translated to today, that's the world telling us as parents, don't force your religion on your children. Leave your family out of it. Let those kids decide for themselves what they're going to do. So Moses then drives Pharaoh out of his presence. Or Moses is driven out of Pharaoh's presence, rather. I wonder sometimes our school systems, society, and I don't want to be picking on the school systems, but I grew up in the school system. We were in a transitional kind of a period, I guess. I remember in elementary school saying the Pledge of Allegiance every day and saying grace before every meal as a class. I remember in literature, in high school literature, in our literature book, they had passages from the Bible in there for us to read as literature. But then we weren't allowed to make any spiritual application to the things that we were reading. And now today, you know, some places you're not allowed to talk about the Bible. And if you do talk about the Bible, then you have to give the Quran or some other religious book equal time. But we have to make sure our children have the pertinent information so that they can make the right decisions. As parents, we have the right and the responsibility to bring our children to worship. Now, the outside world may view that as forcing our beliefs on our children. But we bring our children to worship so that they can get the pertinent information they need to make the decision that they want to make. And they will make a decision. But we got to give them every chance. Parents, I pray God and guardians will provide their children with the proper spiritual environment, teach Christ-like values, and when they do not want that, we pray that God will help us to create a desire within them for the right ways of the Lord. That's what we ask. Exodus 10:24. Pharaoh called to Moses and said, "Go, serve Jehovah. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones go with you." So the compromise, this was after the plague of darkness. Don't take your flocks and your herds with you. You can let your kids go, your little ones, your wives, your families. You can take all your people, but don't take any of your possessions. Do you see an immediate problem with this? If they go into the wilderness with no flocks and no herds, what are they going to eat? And what are they going to sacrifice? And so, and Pharaoh knows this. They don't have any food, and they don't have any sacrifices, then they'll return. This one is really kind of dumb. Because their whole purpose for wanting to go into the wilderness is what? To sacrifice. What are they going to sacrifice? Air cattle? Today, people try to get us to compromise with similar things. Again, don't get too invested in religion. And then, of course, they always talk about the preachers, the faux preachers on television that are saying, you know, just send us a seed offering of $1,200 a month and you'll receive a blessing. No, at best you'll receive a stock thank you card. and maybe a prayer rug that's made out of recycled newspaper. So don't get too involved in religion with your time. You know, don't spend a whole lot of time down there. Don't get too invested with your money. Oh no, you don't want to give your money to those religious hucksters. Use your wealth for yourself. I mean, you're the one that goes to work. You're the ones that climbs out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning and you go work at 8, 10, 12, 16 hour day. And you're the one that comes home to a, you know, dinner and everything. You've earned that money. You don't have to give it to the preacher. You don't have to, you know, use it for yourself. Well, Moses expresses his uncompromising attitude and his faith in chapter 10, verse 25 and 26. But Moses said, "You must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to Jehovah our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve Jehovah our God. And even we do not know with what we must serve Jehovah until we arrive there." We read over that part a lot. Moses says, no, we can't leave anything back because we're not sure yet what the Lord requires of us. That's faith. That's very much like Abraham when he was called to leave Ur of the Chaldees, not knowing where he was going. He knew that God said go, and he knew he was going, but he wasn't sure where he was going. Moses knew that he and the Israelites had to go in the wilderness to make sacrifices, but he didn't know what specifically he needed yet. That's a great statement of faith right there that we miss a lot. The Israelites, here's what it boils down to. Compromise notwithstanding, the Israelites left Egypt on God's terms, not Pharaoh's. That's what we need to do. We need to live our lives on God's terms without compromising to the world, to Satan, government, the press. We do things on God's terms. Israel sacrificed animals. You and I make sacrifices of our lives. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When one of your friends talks you into compromising God's word, Satan laughs at you. You become a spectacle to Satan. We become spectacles to Satan. Notice that passage again from Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Not to Satan, not to Pharaoh, not to the world, not to your spouse, not to your children, not to your parents. Your goal is to strive to please God. And if people around you are not happy with you for trying to please God, it's not your problem. They have the problem. If God is pleased, rightfully, the people that love you should be pleased. It's not always the case, but it should be. And in a perfect world, in heaven, it will be. Here's a couple fundamental facts I'll leave you with. Great athletes never quit. Great soldiers never surrender. And great Christians never compromise. Think about it. Think about it. This evening, if you're not a Christian, I would encourage you to think seriously about your eternal soul. You can become a Christian through faith, repentance, confession, and immersion in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you are a Christian but you've been struggling, perhaps you've been struggling with compromise. You can be emboldened by the strength and the prayers and the love of your brethren here this evening. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, this would be a perfect time and opportunity to do so. But we encourage you to respond if you need to, take a seat on the front row as we stand and as we sing.